And now Chapter 8 of the Madhya Leela, talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known as Gauranga, is the reservoir of all conclusive knowledge in devotional service. He empowered Sri Ramananda Rai, who may be likened to a cloud of devotional service. This cloud was filled with all the conclusive purports of devotional service and was empowered by the ocean to spread this water over the sea. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was the ocean of knowledge of pure devotional service. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaitacharya. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to his program, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went forward on his tour, and after some days arrived at the place of pilgrimage known as Jiyad Nrsinga. After seeing the deity, Lord Nrsinga, in the temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his respectful obeisances by falling flat. Then, in ecstatic love, he performed various dances, chanted, and offered prayers. All glories to Nrsingadev. All glories to Nrsingadev, who is the lord of Prahlad Maharaj, and, like the honeybee, is always engaged in beholding the lotus-like face of the goddess of fortune. Although very ferocious, the lioness is very kind to her cubs. Similarly, although very ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrsingadev is very, very soft and kind to devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. In this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited different verses from the Shastra. The priest of Lord Nrsingadev then brought garlands and the remnants of the Lord's food and offered them to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As usual, a Brahmin offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu an invitation. The Lord passed the night in the temple and then commenced his tour again. The next morning, in the great ecstasy of love, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started on his tour with no knowledge of the proper direction, and he continued the whole day and night. As previously, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted to Vaishnavism many people he met on the road. After some days, the Lord reached the banks of the river Godavari. When he saw the river Godavari, the Lord remembered the river Yamuna. And when he saw the forest on the banks of the river, he remembered Sri Vrindavan Dham. After performing his usual chanting and dancing for some time in this forest, the Lord crossed the river and took his bath on the other bank. After bathing in the river, the Lord walked a little distance from the bathing place and engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna. At that time, accompanied by the sounds of music, Ramananda Roy came there, mounted on a palanquin, to take his bath. Many Brahmins, following the Vedic principles, accompanied Ramananda Roy. According to the Vedic rituals, Ramananda Roy took his bath and offered oblations to his forefathers. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that the person who had come to bathe in the river was Ramananda Roy. The Lord wanted so much to meet him that his mind immediately began running after him. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was running after him mentally, he patiently remains sitting. Ramananda Roy, seeing the wonderful sannyasi, then came to see him. Srila Ramananda Roy then saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as brilliant as 100 suns. The Lord was covered by a saffron garment. He was large in body and very strongly built, and his eyes were like lotus petals. When Ramananda Roy saw the wonderful sannyasi, he was struck with wonder. He went to him and immediately offered his respectful obeisances, falling down flat like a rod. The Lord stood up and asked Ramananda Roy to arise and chant the holy name of Krishna. Indeed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very eager to embrace him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then inquired whether he was Ramananda Roy, and he replied, "Yes, I am your very low servant, and I belong to the Sudra community." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Sri Ramananda Roy very firmly. Indeed, both the master and the servant almost lost consciousness due to ecstatic love. Their natural love for one another was awakened in them both, and they both embraced and fell down on the ground. When they embraced one another, ecstatic symptoms, paralysis, perspiration, tears, shivering, palpitations, and paleness appeared. The word Krishna came from their mouths falteringly. When the stereotyped ritualistic Brahmins who were following the Vedic principles saw this ecstatic manifestation of love, they were struck with wonder. All these Brahmins began to reflect as follows. "We can see that this sannyasi has a luster like the effulgence of Brahman. But how is it he is crying upon embracing a Shudra, a member of the fourth caste in the social order? This Ramananda Roy is the governor of Madras, a highly learned and grave person, a Mahapandit. But upon touching this sannyasi, he has become restless like a madman." While the Brahmins were thinking in this way about the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the Brahmins and restrained his transcendental emotions. When they regained their sanity, they both sat down, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to smile and speak as follows. "Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has spoken of your good qualities, and he has made a great endeavor to convince me to meet you. Indeed, I have come here just to meet you. It is very good that, even without making an effort, I have gotten your interview here." Ramananda Roy replied,
"Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya thinks of me as his servant. Even in my absence, he is very careful to do me good. By his mercy, I have received your interview here. Consequently, I consider that today I have become a successful human being. I can see that you have bestowed special mercy upon Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Therefore, you have touched me, although I am untouchable. This is due only to his love for you. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan himself, and I am only a government servant interested in materialistic activities. Indeed, I am the lowest among men of the fourth caste. You do not fear the Vedic injunctions stating that you should not associate with a Shudra. You are not contemptuous of my touch, although in the Vedas you are forbidden to associate with Shudras. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Therefore, no one can understand your purpose. By your mercy, you are touching me, although this is not sanctioned by the Vedas. You have come here specifically to deliver me. You are so merciful that you alone can deliver all fallen souls. It is the general practice of all saintly people to deliver the fallen. Therefore, they go to people's houses, although they have no personal business there. My dear Lord, sometimes great saintly persons go to the homes of householders, although these householders are generally low-minded. When a saintly person visits their homes, one can understand that it is for no other purpose than to benefit the householders. along with me, there are about 1,000 men, including the Brahmins, and all of them appear to have their hearts melted simply by seeing you. I hear everyone chanting the holy name of Krishna. Everyone's body is thrilled with ecstasy, and there are tears in everyone's eyes. My dear sir, according to your bodily features and your behavior, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such behavior and features are impossible for ordinary living beings, for they cannot possess such transcendental qualities.
The Lord replied to Ramananda Roy, "Sir, you are the best of the topmost devotees. Therefore, upon seeing you, everyone's heart has melted. Although I am a Mayavadi sannyasi, a non-devotee, I am also floating in the ocean of love of Krishna simply by touching you, and want to speak of others. Knowing this, in order to rectify my heart, which is very hard, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked me to meet you." In this way, each of them praised the qualities of the other, and both of them were pleased to see one another. At this time, one Brahmin Vaishnav, following the Vedic principles, came and offered obeisances. He fell flat before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and invited him for lunch. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the Brahmin's invitation, knowing him to be a devotee, and slightly smiling, spoke as follows to Ramananda Roy. "I wish to hear from you about Lord Krishna. Indeed, my mind is inclined to desire this. Therefore, I wish to see you again." Ramananda Roy replied, "My lord, although you have come to correct me, a fallen soul, my mind is not yet purified simply by seeing you. Please stay for 5 or 7 days and kindly cleanse my polluted mind. After that much time, my mind will certainly be pure." Although neither could tolerate the other's separation, Ramananda Roy, nonetheless, offered his obeisances to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and departed. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to the house of the Brahmin who had invited him and took his lunch there. When the evening of that day arrived, both Ramananda Roy and the Lord were eager to meet one another again. After finishing his evening bath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down and waited for Ramananda Roy to come. Then Ramananda Roy, accompanied by one servant, came to meet him. Ramananda Roy approached Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and offered his respectful obeisances, and the Lord embraced him. Then they both began to discuss Krishna in a secluded place. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda Roy to recite a verse from the revealed scriptures concerning the ultimate goal of life. Ramananda Roy replied that if one executes the prescribed duties of his social position, he awakens his original Krishna consciousness. He said, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varna and Ashram. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the institution of the 4 Varnas and Ashrams, or social and spiritual orders." The Lord replied, "This is external. You had better tell me of some other means." Ramananda Roy replied, "To offer the results of one's activities to Krishna is the essence of all perfection. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, 'O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away,
as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering to me.
This is also external, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Please proceed and speak further on this matter.
Ramananda Rai replied, to give up one's occupational duties in the Vanashram is the essence of perfection.
Occupational duties are described in the religious scriptures. If one analyzes them, he can fully understand their qualities and faults, and then give them up completely to render service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a person is considered a first-class man. As stated in scripture, the Bhagavad Gita, after giving up all kinds of religious and occupational duties, if you come to me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and take shelter, I will give you protection from all of life's sinful reactions. Do not worry.
After hearing Ramananda Roy speak in this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, go ahead and say something more.
Ramananda Roy then replied, devotional service mixed with empiric knowledge is the essence of perfection. According to Bhagavad Gita, one who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me.
After hearing this, the Lord, as usual, rejected it, considering it to be external devotional service. He again asked Ramananda Roy to speak further, and Ramananda Roy replied,
pure devotional service without any touch of speculative knowledge is the essence of perfection. Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord, those devotees who have thrown away the impersonal conception of the absolute truth and have therefore abandoned discussing empiric philosophical truths should hear from self-realized devotees about your holy name and form and pastimes and qualities. They should completely follow the principles of devotional service and remain free from illicit sex and gambling, intoxication, and animal slaughter. Surrendering themselves fully with body, words, and mind, they can live in any ashram or social status. Indeed, you are conquered by such persons, although you are always unconquerable.
At this point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, yes, this is all right, but still you can speak more on the subject.
Ramananda Roy then replied, ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the essence of all perfection. As long as there is hunger and thirst, eating and drinking make one feel very happy. When the Lord is worshipped with pure love, transcendental bliss is awakened in the heart of the devotee. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying the price, that is, intense greed, to obtain it. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay.
Hearing up to the point of spontaneous love, the Lord said, yes, that is all right, but if you know more, please tell me. In reply, Ramananda Roy said,
spontaneous loving service in servitude as exchanged by master and servant is the highest perfection. Durvasa Muni said, a man becomes purified simply by hearing the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead
whose lotus feet create the holy places of pilgrimage. Therefore, what remains to be attained by those who have become his servants? The Saint Yamunacharya said, "By serving you constantly, one is freed from all material desires and is completely pacified. When shall we engage as your permanent eternal servants and always feel joyful to have such a perfect master?"
Hearing this from Ramananda Roy, the Lord again requested him to go a step further. In reply, Ramananda Roy said,
"Loving service to Krishna, rendered in fraternity, is the highest perfection."
Shukdeva Goswami said,
"Those who are engaged in self-realization, appreciating the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, and those engaged in devotional service, accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Master, as well as those who are under the clutches of Maya, thinking the Lord an ordinary person, they cannot understand that certain exalted personalities, after accumulating volumes of pious activities, are now playing with the Lord in friendship as cowherd boys."
The Lord said,
"This statement is very good, but please proceed even further."
Ramananda Rai then replied,
"Loving service to the Lord in parental relationship is the highest perfectional stage. Parikshit Maharaj asked Shukdeva Goswami, 'O Brahman, what pious activities did Nanda Maharaj perform by which he received the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as his son? And what pious activities did Mother Yashoda perform that made the Absolute Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, call her mother and suck her breasts? The favor Mother Yashoda obtained from Sri Krishna, the bestower of liberation, was never obtained even by Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, nor even by the Goddess of Fortune, who always remains on the chest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu."
The Lord said,
"Your statements are certainly getting better and better, one after the other, but surpassing all of them is another transcendental mellow, and you can speak of that as the most sublime."
Ramananda Roy then replied,
"Conjugal attachment for Krishna is the topmost position in love of Godhead. Uddhava said, 'When Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Ras Leela, the gopis were embraced by the arms of the Lord. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the Goddess of Fortune or the other consorts in the spiritual world. Indeed, never was such a thing even imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, whose bodily luster and aroma resemble the lotus flower. And what to speak of worldly women, who are very beautiful according to the material estimation? During the Ras dance with the gopis, Krishna disappeared. Then suddenly, due to the gopis' feelings of separation, Lord Krishna appeared among them, dressed in yellow garments and wearing a flower garland. His lotus face was smiling, and he was directly attracting the mind of Cupid. There are various means and processes by which one may attain the favor of Lord Sri Krishna. All those transcendental processes will be studied from the viewpoint of comparative importance. It is true that whatever relationship a particular devotee has with the Lord is the best for him. Still, when we study all the different methods from a neutral position, we can understand that there are higher and lower degrees of love. Increasing love is experienced in various tastes, one above another. But that love which has the highest taste in the gradual succession of desires manifests itself in the form of conjugal love. There is a gradual order of improvement in transcendental mellows, from the initial ones to the later ones. In each subsequent mellow, the qualities of previous mellows are manifest, counting from 2, then 3, and up to the point of 5 complete qualities. As the qualities increase, so the taste also increases in each and every mellow. Therefore, the qualities found in Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakyaras, and Vatsalyaras are all manifest in conjugal love or Madhuryaras. The qualities in the material elements, sky, air, fire, water, and earth, increase one after another by a gradual process of 1, 2, and 3. And at the last stage, in the element of earth, all 5 qualities are completely visible. Complete attainment of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna is made possible by love of Godhead, specifically Madhurya Ras or conjugal love. Lord Krishna is indeed captivated by this standard of love. This is also stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna told the gopis, "The means of attaining my favor is loving service unto me, and fortunately you are all thus engaged. Those living beings who render service unto me are eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world and attain eternal life with knowledge and bliss." Lord Krishna has made a firm promise for all time. If one renders service unto him, Krishna correspondingly gives him an equal amount of success in devotional service to the Lord. According to Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, "All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha." In Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that Lord Krishna cannot proportionately reciprocate devotional service in the Madhurya Ras. Therefore, he always remains a debtor to such devotees. When the gopis were overwhelmed with dissatisfaction due to Lord Krishna's absence from the Ras Leela, Krishna returned to them and told them, "My dear gopis, our meeting is certainly free from all material contamination. I must admit that in many lives it would be impossible for me to repay my debt to you, because you have cut off the bondage of family life just to search for me. Consequently, I am unable to repay you. Therefore, please be satisfied with your honest activities in this regard. Although Krishna's unparalleled beauty is the topmost sweetness of love of Godhead, his sweetness increases unlimitedly when he is in the company of the gopis. Consequently, Krishna's exchange of love with the gopis is the topmost perfection of love of Godhead. Although the son of Devaki, the supreme personality of Godhead, is also the reservoir of all kinds of beauty, when he is among the gopis, he nonetheless becomes more beautiful. For he resembles a marakat jewel surrounded by gold and other jewels." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "This is certainly the limit of perfection. Please be merciful to me and speak more if there is more." Ramananda Rai replied, "Until this day, I did not know anyone within this material world who could inquire beyond this perfectional stage of devotional service. Among the loving affairs of the gopis, the love of Srimati Radharani for Sri Krishna is topmost. Indeed, the glories of Srimati Radharani are highly estimated in all revealed scriptures. Just as Srimati Radharani is most dear to Sri Krishna, her bathing place, known as Radha Kund, is also dear to him. Among the gopis, Srimati Radharani is supermost and very dear to Lord Krishna. When the gopis began to talk among themselves, they said, "Dear friends, the gopi who has been taken away by Krishna to a secluded place must have worshipped the Lord more than anyone else." Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Yes, please speak on. I am very happy to hear you because a river of unprecedented nectar is flowing from your mouth." During the Ras dance, Sri Krishna did not exchange loving affairs with Srimati Radharani due to the presence of the other gopis. Because of the dependence of the others, the intensity of love between Radha and Krishna was not manifest. Therefore, he stole her away. If Lord Krishna rejected the company of the other gopis for Srimati Radharani, we can understand that Lord Sri Krishna has intense affection for her. Ramananda Roy continued, "Please therefore hear from me about the glories of Srimati Radharani's loving affairs. They are beyond compare within these three worlds." Finding herself treated equally with all the other gopis, Srimati Radharani displayed her tricky behavior and left the circle of the Ras dance. Missing Srimati Radharani's presence, Krishna became very unhappy and began to lament and wander throughout the forest to search her out. Lord Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, took Srimati Radharani within his heart, for he desired to dance with her. Thus he left the area of the Ras dance and the company of all the other beautiful damsels of Vraj. Being afflicted by the arrow of Cupid and unhappily regretting his mistreating Radharani, Madhava, Lord Krishna, began to search for Srimati Radharani along the banks of the Yamuna River. When he failed to find her, he entered the bushes of Vrindavan and began to lament. Simply by considering the two previous verses, one can understand what nectar there is in such dealings. It is exactly like freeing a mine of nectar. Although Krishna was in the midst of hundreds of thousands of gopis during the Ras dance, he still kept himself in one of his transcendental forms by the side of Srimati Radharani. Lord Krishna is equal to everyone in his general dealings, but due to the conflicting ecstatic love of Srimati Radharani, there were opposing elements. The progress of loving affairs between young couples is like the movement of a snake. On account of this, two types of anger arise between young couples: anger with cause and anger without cause. When Radharani, out of anger and resentment, left the Ras dance, Lord Sri Krishna, not seeing her, became very anxious. Lord Krishna's desire in the Ras Lila circle is perfectly complete, but Srimati Radharani is the binding link in that desire. The Ras dance does not shine in the heart of Krishna without Srimati Radharani. Therefore, he also gave up the circle of the Ras dance and went out to search for her. When Krishna went out to search for Srimati Radharani, he wandered here and there. However, not finding her, he became afflicted by the arrow of Cupid and began to lament. Since Krishna's lusty desires were not satisfied, even in the midst of hundreds of thousands of gopis, and he was thus searching after Srimati Radharani, we can easily imagine how transcendentally qualified she is. After hearing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Ramananda Rai, "That for which I have come to your residence has now become an object of truth in my knowledge. Now I have come to understand the sublime goal of life and the process of achieving it. Nevertheless,
I think that there is something more ahead, and my mind is desiring to have it. Kindly explain the transcendental features of Krishna and Srimati Radharani, and explain the truth of transcendental mellow and the transcendental form of love of Godhead. Please kindly explain all these truths to me, but for yourself, no one can ascertain them. Sri Ramananda Rai replied, I do not know anything about this. I simply vibrate the sound you make me speak. I simply repeat like a parrot whatever instructions you have given me. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Who can understand your dramatic performances? You inspire me within the heart and make me speak with the tongue. I do not know whether I am speaking well or badly. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I am a Mayavadi in the renounced order of life, and I do not even know what transcendental loving service to the Lord is. I simply float in the ocean of Mayavad philosophy. Due to the association of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, my mind has been enlightened. Therefore, I have asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya about the truths of transcendental loving service to Krishna. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told me, I do not actually know about the topics of Lord Krishna. They are all known only to Ramananda Rai, but he is not present here. After hearing about your glories, I have come to your place. However, you are offering me words of praise out of respect for a sannyasi, one in the renounced order of life. Whether one is a Brahmin, a sannyasi, or a Shudra, regardless of what he is, he can become a spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna. Please do not try to cheat me, thinking of me as a learned sannyasi. Please satisfy my mind by just describing the truth of Radha and Krishna.
Sri Ramananda Rai was a great devotee of the Lord and a lover of God. And although his mind could not be covered by Krishna's illusory energy, and although he could understand the mind of the Lord, which was very strong and intense, Ramananda's mind became a little agitated. So he said,
I am just a dancing puppet, and you pull the strings. Whichever way you make me dance, I will dance. My dear Lord, my tongue is just like a stringed instrument, and you are its player. Therefore, I simply vibrate whatever arises in your mind.
Ramananda Rai then began to speak on Krishna Tattva.
He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is personally the original Godhead, the source of all incarnations, and the cause of all causes. There are innumerable Vaikuntha planets, as well as innumerable incarnations. In the material world also, there are innumerable universes, and Krishna is the supreme resting place for all of them. The transcendental body of Sri Krishna is eternal and full of bliss and knowledge. He is the son of Nanda Maharaj. He is full of all opulences and potencies, as well as all spiritual mellows. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. In the spiritual realm of Vrindavan, Krishna is the spiritual, ever-fresh Cupid. He is worshipped by the chanting of the Kama Gayatri mantra with the spiritual seed word, Kleem. The very name Krishna means that he attracts even Cupid. He is therefore attractive to everyone, male and female, moving and inert living entities. Indeed, Krishna is known as the all-attractive one. When Krishna left the Ras Leela dance, the gopis became very morose. And when they were grieving, Krishna reappeared dressed in yellow garments. Wearing a flower garland and smiling, he was attractive even to Cupid. In this way, Krishna appeared among the gopis. Each and every devotee has a certain type of transcendental mellow in relation to Krishna. However, in all transcendental relationships, the devotee is the worshipper and Krishna is the object of worship. Let Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, be glorified. By virtue of his expanding attractive features, he subjugated the gopis named Taraka and Pali and absorbed Shyam and Lalita. He is the most attractive lover of Srimati Radharani and is the reservoir of pleasure for all devotional mellows. Krishna is all attractive for all devotional mellows because he is the personification of the conjugal mellow. Krishna is attractive not only to all the devotees but to himself as well. In the Gita Govind, someone says, "My dear friends, just see how Sri Krishna is enjoying the season of spring. With the gopis embracing each of his limbs, he is like amorous love personified. With his transcendental pastimes, he enlivens all the gopis and the entire creation. With his soft bluish black arms and legs, which resemble blue lotus flowers, he has created a festival for Cupid. He also attracts Narayan, the incarnation of Sankarshan and the husband of the goddess of fortune. He attracts not only Narayan, but all women, headed by the goddess of fortune, the consort of Narayan." Addressing Krishna and Arjuna, Lord Mahavishnu said, "I wanted to see both of you, and therefore I have brought the sons of the Brahmin here. Both of you have appeared in the material world to re-establish religious principles, and you have both appeared here with all your potencies. After killing all the demons, please quickly return to the spiritual world." The wives of the serpent Kalia said, "O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kalia attained such an opportunity to be touched by the dust of your lotus feet. For this end, the goddess of fortune performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and taking austere vows. Indeed, we do not know how this serpent Kalia got such an opportunity. Lord Krishna's sweetness is so attractive that it steals away his own mind. Thus, he even wants to embrace himself." In the Lalita Madhava it is said, "Upon seeing his own reflection in a bejeweled pillar of his Dwarka palace, Krishna desired to embrace it, saying, 'Alas, I have never seen such a person before. Who is he? Just by seeing him, I have become eager to embrace him, exactly like Srimati Radharani.' I have thus briefly explained the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now let me describe the position of Srimati Radharani.
Krishna has unlimited potencies, which can be divided into three main parts. These are the spiritual potency, the material potency, and the marginal potency, which is known as the living entities. In other words, these are all potencies of God, internal, external, and marginal. However, the internal potency is the Lord's personal energy and stands over the other two. The original potency of Lord Vishnu is superior or spiritual. The living entity actually belongs to that superior energy, but there is another energy called the material energy, and this third energy is full of ignorance. Originally, Lord Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha, the transcendental form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. Therefore, his personal potency, the internal potency,
has three different forms. Ladini is his aspect of bliss, Sandini of eternal existence, and Samvit of cognizance, which is also accepted as knowledge. In the Vishnu Purana it is said, "My dear Lord, you are the transcendental reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Your pleasure potency, existence potency, and knowledge potency are actually one spiritual internal potency. The conditioned soul, although actually spiritual, experiences sometimes pleasure, sometimes pain, and sometimes a mixture of pain and pleasure. This is due to his being touched by matter. However, because you are above all material qualities, these are not found in you. Your superior spiritual potency is completely transcendental, and for you there is no such thing as relative pleasure, pleasure mixed with pain, or pain itself. The potency called Ladini gives Krishna transcendental pleasure. Through this pleasure potency, Krishna personally tastes all spiritual pleasure. Lord Krishna tastes all kinds of transcendental happiness, although he himself is happiness personified. The pleasure relished by his pure devotee is also manifest by his pleasure potency. The most essential part of this pleasure potency is love of Godhead or prema. Consequently, the explanation of love of Godhead is also a transcendental mellow full of pleasure. The essential part of love of Godhead is called Mahabhav, transcendental ecstasy, and that ecstasy is represented by Srimati Radharani. Among the gopis of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani and another gopi are considered the chief. However, when we compare the gopis, it appears that Srimati Radharani is most important because her real feature expresses the highest ecstasy of love. The ecstasy of love experienced by the other gopis cannot be compared to that of Srimati Radharani. The body of Srimati Radharani is the veritable transformation of love of Godhead. She is the dearmost friend of Krishna, and this is known throughout the world. In the Brahma Samhita it says, "I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who resides in his own realm Golok with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual figure, and who embodies the ecstatic potency or Ladini. Their companions are her confidants, who embody extensions of her bodily form, and who are imbued and permeated with ever-blissful spiritual ras." That supreme ecstasy of Srimati Radharani is the essence of spiritual life. Her only business is to fulfill all the desires of Krishna. Srimati Radharani is the topmost spiritual gem, and the other gopis, Lalita, Vishakha and so on, are expansions of her spiritual body. Srimati Radharani's transcendental body is brilliant in luster and full of all transcendental flavors. Lord Krishna's affection for her is like a perfumed massage. Srimati Radharani takes her first bath in the shower of nectar of compassion, and she takes her second bath in the nectar of youth. After her midday bath, Radharani takes another bath in the nectar of bodily luster, and she puts on the garment of shyness, which is exactly like a black silk sari. Srimati Radharani's affection for Krishna is the upper garment, which is pinkish in color. She then covers her breasts with another garment, comprised of affection and anger toward Krishna. Srimati Radharani's personal beauty is compared to the reddish powder known as kunkum.
Her affection for her associates is compared to sandalwood pulp, and the sweetness of her smile is compared to camphor. All these combined together are smeared over her body. Conjugal love for Krishna is just like an abundance of musk. By that musk, her whole body is decorated. Covered anger and craftiness constitute the arrangement of her hair. The quality of anger due to jealousy is just like the silk covering her body. Her attachment for Krishna is the reddish color of betel nuts on her brilliant lips. Her double dealing and loving affairs are just like the black ointment around her eyes. The decorated ornaments on her body are the blazing ecstasies of goodness, and these constantly existing ecstasies are headed by jubilation. All these ecstasies are like ornaments all over her body. These bodily ornaments constitute 20 kinds of ecstatic symptoms, beginning with Kila Kinchita. Her transcendental qualities are the flower garland hanging in fullness over her body. The Tilaka fortune is on her beautiful broad forehead. Her various loving affairs are a gem, and her heart is the locket. Srimati Radha Rani's gopi friends are her mental activities, which are concentrated on the pastimes of Sri Krishna. She keeps her hand on the shoulder of a friend who represents youth. Srimati Radha Rani's bedstead is pride itself, and it is situated in the abode of her bodily aroma. She is always seated there, thinking of Krishna's association. Srimati Radha Rani's earrings represent the name, fame, and qualities of Lord Krishna. The glories of Lord Krishna's name, fame, and qualities are always inundating her speech. Srimati Radha Rani induces Krishna to drink the honey of conjugal relationship. She is therefore engaged in satisfying all the lusty desires of Krishna. Srimati Radha Rani is exactly like a mine filled with valuable jewels of love for Krishna. Her transcendental body is complete with unparalleled spiritual qualities. If one asks about the origin of love of Krishna, the answer is that the origin is in Srimati Radha Rani alone. Who is the most dear friend of Krishna? The answer again is Srimati Radha Rani alone. No one else. Srimati Radha Rani's hair is very curly. Her two eyes are very moving to and fro, and her breasts are firm. Since all transcendental qualities are manifest in Srimati Radha Rani, she alone is able to fulfill all the desires of Krishna, no one else. Even Satyabhama, one of the queens of Sri Krishna, desires the fortunate position and excellent qualities of Srimati Radha Rani. All the gopis learn the art of dressing from Srimati Radha Rani, and even the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and the wife of Lord Shiva, Parvati, desire her beauty and qualities. Indeed, Arundhati, the celebrated chaste wife of Vasishtha, also wants to imitate the chastity and religious principles of Srimati Radha Rani. Even Lord Krishna himself cannot reach the limit of the transcendental qualities of Srimati Radha Rani. How then can an insignificant living entity count them? Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Now I have come to understand the truth of the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. Nonetheless, I still want to hear how both of them gloriously enjoy such love." Ramananda Roy replied, Lord Krishna is Dhira Lalita, for he can always keep his girlfriends in a subjugated state. Thus his only business is enjoying sense gratification. A person who is very cunning and always youthful, expert in joking and without anxiety, who can keep his girlfriends always subjugated, is called Dhira Lalita. Day and night, Lord Krishna enjoys the company of Srimati Radharani in the bushes of Vrindavan. Thus his pre-youthful age was fulfilled through his affairs with Srimati Radharani. Once, Lord Sri Krishna spoke of the sexual activities of the previous night. In this way, he made Srimati Radharani close her eyes out of shyness. Taking this opportunity, Sri Krishna painted various types of dolphins on her breasts. Thus he became a very expert artist for all the gopis. During such pastimes, the Lord enjoyed the fulfillment of his youth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "This is all right, but please continue." At that time, Ramananda Rai replied, "I don't think my intelligence goes beyond this." Ramananda Rai then informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that there was another topic known as Prem Vilas Vivarta. He said, "You may hear of this from me. However, I do not know whether you will be happy with it or not." Saying this, Ramananda Rai began to sing a song he had composed. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of ecstasy of love of Godhead, immediately covered Ramananda's mouth with his own hand. Ramananda Rai's song went as follows. "Alas, before we met, there was an initial attachment between us, brought about by an exchange of glances. In this way, attachment evolved. That attachment has gradually begun to grow, and there is no limit to it. Now that attachment has become a natural sequence between ourselves. It is not that it is due to Krishna, the enjoyer, nor is it due to me, for I am the enjoyed. It is not like that. This attachment was made possible by mutual meeting. This mutual exchange of attraction is known as Manobhav or Cupid. Krishna's mind and my mind have merged together. Now during this time of separation, it is very difficult to explain these loving affairs. My dear friend, Krishna might have forgotten all these things. However, you can understand and bring the message to him. But during our first meeting, there was no messenger between us, nor did I request anyone to see him. Indeed, Cupid's five arrows were our via media. Now, during this separation, that attraction has increased to another ecstatic state. My dear friend, please act as a messenger on my behalf, because if one is in love with a beautiful person, this is the consequence. Oh my Lord, you live in the forest of Govardhan Hill, and like the king of elephants, you are expert in the art of conjugal love. O Master of the universe, your heart and Srimati Radharani's heart are just like shellac and are now melted in your spiritual perspiration. Therefore, one can no longer distinguish between you and Srimati Radharani. Now you have mixed your newly invoked affection, which is like vermilion, with your melted hearts. And for the benefit of the whole world, you have painted both your hearts red within this great palace of the universe." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirmed these verses recited by Sri Ramananda Rai, saying, "This is the limit of the goal of human life. Only by your mercy have I come to understand it conclusively. The goal of life cannot be achieved unless one practices the process. Now, being merciful upon me, please explain the means by which this goal can be attained."
Sri Ramananda Rai replied,
I do not know what I am saying, but you have made me speak what I have spoken, be it good or bad. I am simply repeating that message. Within these three worlds, who is so undisturbed that he can remain steady as you manipulate your different energies? Actually, you are speaking through my mouth, and at the same time, you are listening. And this is very mysterious. Anyway, kindly hear the explanation by which the goal can be attained. The pastimes of Radha and Krishna are very confidential. They cannot be understood through the mellows of servitude, fraternity, or paternal affection. Actually, only the gopis have the right to appreciate these transcendental pastimes, and only from them can these pastimes be expanded. Without the gopis, these pastimes between Radha and Krishna cannot be nourished. Only by their cooperation are such pastimes broadcast. It is their business to taste the mellows. Without the help of the gopis, one cannot enter into these pastimes. Only he who worships the Lord in ecstasy of the gopis, following in their footsteps, can engage in the service of Sri Sri Radha Krishna in the bushes of Vrindavan. Only then can one understand the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. There is no other procedure for understanding. The pastimes of Radha and Krishna are self-effulgent. They are happiness personified, unlimited, and all-powerful. Even so, the spiritual humors of such pastimes are never complete without the gopis, the Lord's personal friends. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is never complete without His spiritual potencies. Therefore, unless one takes shelter of the gopis, one cannot enter into the company of Radha and Krishna. Who can be interested in their spiritual pastimes without taking their shelter? There is an inexplicable fact about the natural inclinations of the gopis. The gopis never want to enjoy themselves with Krishna personally. The happiness of the gopis increases 10 million times when they serve to engage Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in their transcendental pastimes. By nature, Srimati Radharani is just like a creeper of love of Godhead, and the gopis are the twigs, flowers, and leaves of that creeper. When the nectar of Krishna's pastimes is sprinkled on that creeper, the happiness derived by the twigs, flowers, and leaves is 10 million times greater than that derived by the creeper itself. All the gopis, the personal friends of Srimati Radharani, are equal to her. Krishna is pleasing to the inhabitants of Rajbhumi, just as the moon is pleasing to the lotus flower. His pleasure-giving potency, known as Ladini, of which the active principle is Srimati Radharani. She is compared to a creeper with newly grown flowers and leaves. When the nectar of Krishna's pastimes is sprinkled on Srimati Radharani, all her friends, the gopis, immediately appreciate the pleasure 100 times more than if they were sprinkled themselves. Actually, this is not at all wonderful. Although the gopis, Srimati Radharani's friends, do not desire to enjoy themselves directly with Krishna, Srimati Radharani makes a great endeavor to induce Krishna to enjoy himself with the gopis. Presenting various pleas for the gopis, Srimati Radharani sometimes sends the gopis to Krishna just to enable them to associate with him directly. At such times, she enjoys a happiness 10 million times greater than that enjoyed by direct association. The transcendental mellow is nourished by that mutual behavior in transcendental love of Godhead. When Lord Krishna sees how the gopis have developed pure love for him, he becomes very satisfied. It is to be noted that the natural characteristic of the gopis
is to love the Supreme Lord. Their lusty desire is not to be compared to material lust. Nonetheless, because their desire sometimes appears to resemble material lust, their transcendental love for Krishna is sometimes described as lust. The dealings of the gopis with Krishna are on the platform of pure love of Godhead. However, they are sometimes considered to be lusty. But because such dealings are completely spiritual, all the dearmost devotees of the Lord, like Uddhava and others, also desire to participate in them. Lusty desires are experienced when one is concerned with one's own personal sense gratification. The mood of the gopis is not like that. Their only desire is to satisfy the senses of Krishna. Among the gopis, there is not a pinch of desire for sense gratification. Their only desire is to give pleasure to Krishna. And in this way, they mingle with him and enjoy him. All the gopis said, "Dear Krishna, we carefully hold your delicate lotus feet upon our hard breasts. When you walk on the forest, your soft lotus feet are pricked by small bits of stone. We fear that this is paining you. You are our life and soul, and our minds are very disturbed when your lotus feet are pained." One who is attracted by that ecstatic love of the gopis does not care about regulative principles of Vedic life or popular opinion. Rather, he completely surrenders unto Krishna and renders service unto him. If one worships the Lord on the path of spontaneous love and goes to Vrindavan, he receives the shelter of Rajendra Nandana, the son of Nanda Maharaj. In his liberated stage, the devotee is attracted by one of the five humors in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As he continues to serve the Lord in that transcendental mood, he attains a spiritual body to serve Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Those saintly persons who presented the Upanishads are vivid examples of this. By worshipping the Lord on the path of spontaneous love, they attain the lotus feet of Rajendra Nandan, the son of Nanda Maharaj. By practicing the mystic yoga system and controlling their breath, the great sages conquered the mind and senses. Thus engaging in mystic yoga, they saw the super soul within their hearts and ultimately entered into the impersonal Brahman. However, even the enemies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead attain that position simply by thinking of the Supreme Lord. The damsels of Raja, the gopis, simply wanted to embrace Krishna and hold his arms, which are like serpents. Being attracted by the beauty of Krishna, they ultimately acquired a taste for the nectar of the Lord's lotus feet. We can also taste the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet by following in the footsteps of the gopis. The word Samudra Shah mentioned in the fourth line of the previous verse means following in the mood of the gopis. The word Sama means attaining a body like those of the gopis. The word Angri Padma Sudha means associating intimately with Krishna. One can attain such perfection only by spontaneous love of God. One cannot obtain Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan simply by serving the Lord according to regulative principles. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to those devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. But he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. Therefore, one should accept the mood of the gopis in their service. In such transcendental mood, one should always think of the pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna. After thinking of Radha and Krishna and their pastimes for a long time, and after getting completely free from material contamination, one is transferred to the spiritual world. There the devotee attains an opportunity to serve Radha and Krishna as one of the gopis. Unless one follows in the footsteps of the gopis, he cannot attain the service of the lotus feet of Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. If one is overcome by knowledge of the Lord's opulence, he cannot attain the Lord's lotus feet, even though he is engaged in devotional service. The unspoken example in this connection is the goddess of fortune, who worshipped Lord Krishna in order to attain his pastimes in Vrindavan. However, due to her opulent lifestyle, she could not attain the service of Krishna in Vrindavan. When Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Ras Lila, the gopis were embraced around the neck by the Lord's arms. This transcendental favor was never enjoyed by the goddess of fortune or other consorts in the spiritual world. Nor was such a thing ever imagined by the most beautiful girls from the heavenly planets, whose bodily luster and flavor exactly resemble a lotus flower. And what to speak of worldly women who are very beautiful according to the material estimation?
After hearing this, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Ramananda Roy, and both of them, clasping one another's shoulders, began to cry. The entire night was passed in this way, in ecstatic love of Godhead. In the morning, they both departed to tend to their respective duties. Before departing from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Roy fell to the ground and caught hold of the Lord's lotus feet. He then spoke submissively as follows. Sri Ramananda Roy said,
"You have come here just to show me your causeless mercy. Therefore stay here for at least 10 days and purify my polluted mind. But for you, there is no one who can deliver all the living entities, for you alone can deliver love of Krishna."
The Lord replied, "Having heard about your good qualities, I have come here. I have come to hear about Krishna from you and thus purify my mind. Just as I have heard from you, I have also actually seen your glories. As far as Radha and Krishna's pastimes in a loving mood are concerned, you are the limit of knowledge. To say nothing of 10 days, as long as I live, I shall find it impossible to give up your company. Both you and I shall remain together at Jagannath Puri. We shall pass our time together in joy, talking about Krishna and his pastimes." In this way, they both departed to perform their respective duties. Then in the evening, Ramananda Roy returned to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus they met time and time again, both sitting in a secluded place and jubilantly discussing the pastimes of Krishna by the question and answer process. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the questions, and Sri Ramananda Roy gave the answers. In this way, they were engaged in discussion throughout the night. On one occasion, the Lord inquired, "Of all types of education, which is the most important?" Ramananda Roy replied,
"There is no education that is important other than the transcendental devotional service of Krishna."
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asked Ramananda Roy, "Out of all glorious activities, which is the most glorious?"
"That person who is reputed to be a devotee of Lord Krishna's enjoys the utmost fame and glory."
"Of the many capitalists, who possesses great riches? Who is the topmost?"
"He who is richest in love for Radha and Krishna is the greatest capitalist. Of all kinds of distress, what is the most painful? Apart from separation from the devotee of Krishna, I know of no unbearable unhappiness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then inquired, out of all liberated persons, who should be accepted as the greatest? He who has love for Krishna has attained the topmost liberation. Among many songs, which song is to be considered the actual religion of the living entity? That song describing the loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna is superior to all other songs. Out of all auspicious and beneficial activities, which is the best for the living entity? The only auspicious activity is the association with the devotees of Krishna. Well, what should all living entities constantly remember? The chief object of remembrance is always the holy name of the Lord and His qualities and pastimes. Out of many types of meditation, which is required for all living entities? The chief duty of every living entity is to meditate upon the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Where should the living entity live, abandoning all other places? The holy place known as Vrindavan or Vrajabhumi, where the Lord performed His Ras dance. Out of all topics people listen to, which is the best for all living entities? Hearing about the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna is most pleasing to the ear. Among all worshipable objects, which is the chief? The chief worshipable object is the holy name of Radha and Krishna, the Hare Krishna mantra. And what is the destination of those who desire liberation and those who desire sense gratification? Those who attempt to merge into the existence of the Supreme Lord will have to accept a body like that of a tree. And those who are overly inclined towards sense gratification will attain the bodies of demigods. Those who are devoid of all mellows are like the crows that suck the juice from the bitter fruits of the nimba tree of knowledge. Whereas those who enjoy mellows are like the cuckoos who eat the buds of the mango tree of love of Godhead. The unfortunate empiric philosophers taste the dry process of philosophical knowledge, whereas the devotees regularly drink the nectar of love of Krishna. Therefore, they are most fortunate of all. In this way, both Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy passed the full night relishing the mellow of Krishna Katha, topics about Krishna. While they were chanting, dancing and crying, the night ended. The next morning they both departed to perform their respective duties. But in the evening, Ramananda Roy returned to meet the Lord again. The next evening, after discussing the topic of Krishna for some time, Ramananda Roy caught hold of the lotus feet of the Lord and spoke as follows. There is transcendental variety in talks about Krishna and Radharani and their transcendental loving affairs, humors and pastimes. You have manifested many transcendental truths in my heart. This is exactly the way Narayan educated Lord Brahma. The Supersoul within everyone's heart speaks not externally, but from within. He instructs the devotees in all respects, and that is His way of instruction. As it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my obeisances unto Lord Sri Krishna, son of Vasudev, who is the supreme, all-pervading personality of Godhead. I meditate upon Him, the transcendent reality, who is the primeval cause of all causes, from whom all manifested universes arise, in whom they dwell, and by whom they are destroyed. I meditate upon that eternally effulgent Lord, who is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations and yet is beyond them. It is he only who first imparted Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahma, the first created being. Through him this world, like a mirage, appears real, even to great sages and demigods. Because of him, the material universes created by the three modes of nature appear to be factual, although they are unreal. I meditate therefore upon him, the absolute truth, who is eternally existent in his transcendental abode, and who is forever free of illusion. Ramananda Roy then said that he had but one doubt within his heart, and he petitioned the Lord, "Please be merciful upon me and just remove my doubt. At first I saw you appear like a sannyasi, but now I am seeing you as Shyamasundara, the cowherd boy. I now see you appearing like a golden doll, and your entire body appears covered by a golden luster. I see that you are holding a flute to your mouth, and your lotus eyes are moving very restlessly due to various ecstasies. I actually see you in this way, and this is very wonderful. My Lord, please tell me, without duplicity, what is causing this?" You have a deep love for Krishna, and one who has such deep ecstatic love for the Lord naturally sees things in such a way. Please take this from me to be certain. A devotee advanced on the spiritual platform sees everything movable and inert as the Supreme Lord. For him, everything he sees here and there is but the manifestation of Lord Krishna. The Mahabhagavat, the advanced devotee, certainly sees everything mobile and immobile, but he does not exactly see their forms. Rather, everywhere he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord. As the gopis sung, "A person advanced in devotional service sees within everything the soul of souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he always sees the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes, and understands that all things are situated in him. The plants, creepers, and trees were full of fruits and flowers due to ecstatic love of Krishna. Indeed, being so full, they were bowing down. They were inspired by such deep love for Krishna that they were constantly pouring showers of honey. In this way, the gopi saw all the forest of Vrindavan. My dear Rai, you are an advanced devotee and are always filled with ecstatic love for Radha and Krishna. Therefore, whatever you see, anywhere and everywhere, simply awakens your Krishna consciousness. My dear Lord, please give up all these serious talks. Please do not conceal your real form from me. My dear Lord, I can understand that you have assumed the ecstasy and bodily complexion of Srimati Radharani. By accepting this, you are tasting your own personal transcendental humor and have therefore appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My dear Lord, you have descended in this incarnation of Lord Chaitanya for your own personal reasons. You have come to taste your own spiritual bliss, and at the same time, you are transforming the whole world by spreading the ecstasy of love of Godhead. Oh, my dear Lord, by your causeless mercy, you have appeared before me to grant me liberation. Now you are playing in a duplicitous way. What is the reason for this behavior?
Lord Sri Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure, and Srimati Radharani is the personification of ecstatic love of Godhead. These two forms combined as one in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This being the case, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his real form to Ramananda Rai. Upon seeing this form, Ramananda Rai almost lost consciousness in transcendental bliss. Unable to remain standing, he fell to the ground. When Ramananda Rai fell to the ground unconscious, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched his hand, and he immediately regained consciousness. However, when he saw Lord Chaitanya in the dress of a sannyasi, he was struck with wonder. After embracing Ramananda Rai, the Lord pacified him, informing him, "But for you, no one has ever seen this form. All the truths about my pastimes and mellows are within your knowledge. Therefore, I have shown this form to you. Actually, my body does not have a white complexion. It only appears so because it has touched the body of Srimati Radharani. However, she does not touch anyone but the son of Nanda Maharaj. I have now converted my body and mind into the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani. Thus I am tasting my own personal sweetness in that form." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then admitted to his pure devotee, Ramananda Rai, "Now there is no confidential activity unknown to you. Even though I try to conceal my activities, you can understand everything in detail by virtue of your advanced love for me. But keep all these talks a secret. Please do not expose them anywhere and everywhere. Since my activities appear to be like those of a madman, people may take them lightly and laugh." "Indeed, I am a madman, and you are also a madman. Therefore, both of us are on the same platform." For 10 nights, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai spent a happy time discussing the pastimes of Krishna. The conversations between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu contain the most confidential subject matters touching the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Although both talked at great length about these pastimes, they could not reach the limit of discussion. Actually, these conversations are like a great mine wherefrom one can extract all kinds of metal, copper, bell metal, silver, gold, base metals, and all others. They are like a touchstone buried in one place. Both Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai worked like miners, excavating all kinds of valuable metals, each one better than the other. Their questions and answers are exactly like that. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begged Ramananda Rai to give him permission to leave. And at the time of farewell, the Lord gave him the following orders: "Give up all material engagements and come to Jagannath Puri. I will return there very soon after finishing my tour and pilgrimage. The two of us shall remain together at Jagannath Puri and happily pass our time discussing Krishna." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Sri Ramananda Rai, and after sending him back to his home, the Lord took rest. After rising from bed the next morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the local temple, where there was a deity of Hanuman. After offering him obeisances, the Lord departed for South India. All the residents of Vidyanagara were of different faiths, but after seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they abandoned their own faiths and became Vaishnavas. When Ramananda Rai began to feel separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was overwhelmed. Meditating on the Lord, he gave up all his material business. I have briefly described the meeting between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. No one can actually describe this meeting exhaustively. It is even impossible for Lord Sheshanag, who has thousands of hoods. The activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like condensed milk, and the activities of Ramananda Rai are like large quantities of sugar candy. Their meeting is exactly like a mixture of condensed milk and sugar candy. When they talk of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, camphor is added. If one tastes this combined preparation, he is most fortunate. This wonderful preparation has to be taken orally. If one hears it, he becomes greedy to relish it even further. By hearing talks between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one is enlightened to the transcendental knowledge of the mellows of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Thus one can develop unalloyed love for the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. The author requests every reader to hear these talks with faith and without argument. By studying them in this way, one will be able to understand the confidential truth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This part of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes is most confidential. One can derive benefit quickly only by faith. Otherwise, by arguing, one will always remain far away. He who has accepted as everything the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Prabhu can attain this transcendental treasure. I offer 10 million obeisances unto the lotus feet of Sri Ramananda Rai, because from his mouth much spiritual information has been expanded by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have tried to preach the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's meeting with Ramananda Rai in accordance with the notebooks of Sri Svarup Damodar. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaurata Bhinda. This ends Chapter 8 of the Madhya Leela, Talks Between the Lord and Ramananda Rai.